people say a man is made out of mud. A poor man's made out of muscle and blood. Muscle and blood and skin and bones. A mind that's weak and a back that's strong. You load the 16 tons, what do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt. St. Peter, don't you call me, cause I can't go. I owe my soul to the company store.
Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing. And joining us now is Keith Wrightson, the worker safety and health advocate at Public Citizens Congress Watch Division. He advocates before Congress, state, and federal agencies to improve conditions for workers and for occupational safety and health. Welcome to Background Briefing, Keith Wrightson.
Hi, Ian. How are you?
Very well, thanks, Keith. And the death toll so far in the blast at the West Fertilizer plant in Waco, Texas, is up to 40 dead and 150 people injured. And what I find extraordinary about the situation there is that the last time that OSHA, the Occupational Safety and Health Administration, inspected that plant, that fertilizer plant in Texas, was 28 years ago in 1985, when they found five serious violations and fined West Fertilizer, guess what, $30. Now, the other disparity, which I want to discuss with you, is that OSHA, which is clearly understaffed, they have a measly budget of $558 million a year, and yet we have workplace deaths of 4,500 Americans per year, and then contrast that with the hundreds of billions more that's spent combating terrorists who, since 9/11, have killed 238 Americans, an average of 24 per year. So let's start with the understaffing and the inspection situation.
So in Texas, this is a historic problem across the United States, particularly in Texas. The state has not been allotted the resources to provide proper oversight for the state's workplaces. Like you just mentioned, OSHA's budget nationally is minuscule in the grand scope of things. What that translates to for Texas is a lack of oversight and a lack of inspections in its workplaces. And just to give you an example of the resources that have been allotted to Texas, under current funding, it would take Texas OSHA inspectors 98 years to inspect each workplace once. It's a horrible number. It's a disregard for occupational safety and health, and it's really placing the public at risk and workers at risk.
So there is, of course, some state inspection as well in Texas. Apparently this plant was inspected by state officials back in 2006 and hasn't been since. And the Environmental Protection Agency fined West Fertilizer $2,300 in 2006 for failing to implement a risk management plan. But as far as I know, the 83-year-old owner is a multimillionaire, isn't he? Isn't this a very lucrative operation he's got? So if he's only getting fined $30 back in 85 for five violations in 2000, and then more recently getting fined $2,300 in 2006, it's not exactly hurting him.
No, it's not hurting him at all. Through some research that we conducted today, the true company name is Adair Grain Incorporated. A lot of the media has been reporting it as the West Fertilizer Company. We found that the company was incorporated started doing business in 1958. So they're a well-established company in the community just north of Waco, Texas. And the fines that you mentioned are disgusting, right? A $30 fine for five violations. I mean, did he just open up his wallet and pay in cash? I'm guessing he probably did. You know, in a lot of these situations, the agency, meaning OSHA, will come in and find the maximum on an infraction of the OSH Act. So in 1985, the most significant fine you could get was $1,000 per infraction. Since then, it's been raised to $7,000. But what happens is in the region, the fine gets negotiated down or negotiated away. And that's a real problem for the agency. Nobody should have that ability. And that kind of stuff happens all across the United States, not just in Texas, that's for sure. So you had just mentioned the $2,300 fine that Adair Grain was responsible for in 2006. The EPA levied that fine because they did not have a risk management plan in place. I can't say that that plan has anything to do with worker safety, but most likely the environmental controls in case there was a spill or you know, a release of ammonia gas, because that's what they manufacture there. But still, $2,300, you know, you can bring it right home. That's absolutely nothing for a multimillionaire that had over $4 million in sales last year. So,
well, Keith Wrightson, again, the worker safety and health advocate at Public Citizens Congress Watch Division. He advocates before Congress, state, and federal agencies to improve conditions for workers and for occupational safety and health. Let's turn to the extraordinary number of Americans that are killed every year in the workplace. That's 4,500. And this is OSHA's budget is $558 million, overseeing the workplace in which 4,500 Americans are killed every year. Contrast that to the billions spent combating terrorism. Again, since 9/11, 238 Americans have died. That's an average of 24 per year. My understanding is the maximum fine for committing a safety violation that leads to a worker's death is $7,000. And then the maximum jail time for willful violation resulting in the death of a worker is 6 months in jail. And since 1970, 360,000 Americans have been killed on the job, but yet there have only been 84 criminal prosecutions.
Mm-hmm. It's an interesting point. There are limitations in the OSH Act do not provide relief for families or workers, you know, essentially that have been killed. It's truly a limitation in the law. The EPA, the Environmental Protection Agency, has a better opportunity to send somebody to prison for a criminal act than the Occupational Safety and Health Administration. That's definitely a problem. And also, you mentioned 4,500 workers dying per year. The numbers have slightly gone down since the economy has crashed, you know, the numbers stay steady. So there's no way that OSHA has been given enough resources to truly combat this problem. You know, nearly 400,000 people have died in the last roughly 30 years. And, you know, for some reason, it's acceptable to our congressional members, you know, if just under 5,000 are dying per year. It's really sickening.
Well, it's surprising, though, that something as dangerous as ammonium nitrate has so little oversight, because, you know, the bomb that was used in Oklahoma City, which happened on April the 19th, and that, of course, was the reason that McVeigh let it off on April the 19th, was because nearby Waco, where this blast took place at Adair's fertilizer plant, that was also the Waco burning of the Branch Davidians was on April the 19th. So I know that's a little off topic here, but not that it's not in the news because of what's been going on with these bombings. But the point I want to make is that ammonium nitrate is incredibly dangerous, and that's what Tim McVeigh used, ammonium nitrate mixed with diesel. It's called ANFO. It's what, by the way, the Taliban use in these IEDs that kill American troops in Afghanistan. In 1947, 3,200 tons of ammonium nitrate fertilizer detonated aboard a ship in a Texas City port, which killed 600 people. And that apparently is, to this day, the deadliest industrial accident in U.S. history. So somebody didn't get the memo on how dangerous ammonium nitrate is.
It's interesting you bring up the Texas City disaster. You know, that occurred from ships and ports. They had come, I believe, from France over to the United States. And there was no controls in place in 1947. Everything was just honky-dory. I don't think they really understood the capacity of what an explosion could do. But you would think that they would learn from that point, and our government would step up and put some, you know, strong regulations, some sensible safeguards in place to shield the public from disasters like these. It's not just ammonium nitrate or, you know, anhydrous ammonia or any of these chemicals. These explosions happen frequently in oil refineries. Texas is no stranger to that. BP's had disasters down there. Two or three months ago out your way in Richmond, California, there was a chemical explosion up in the refinery up there. You know, chemicals are very, very serious. You would think that we would have learned our lessons by now, and our elected congressional figures would step up and shield the public from this type of activity, but the regulatory process is extremely slow and stagnant, and our elected officials hardly ever react unless there's a disaster. It's quite shocking.
So tell us, Keith Wrightson, about the U.S. Chemical Safety Board. That's the federal agency overseeing investigation of industrial chemical accidents. And somebody, I can't remember who it was, I interviewed fairly recently, I think it was to do when that huge superstorm hit New Jersey and New York, pointed out how these massive chemical plants in New Jersey are virtually just above sea level, and how the chemical lobby has prevented really meaningful legislation about protecting the public from these incredibly toxic chemicals that could either be spilled because of a hurricane bursting the containers, and that they don't isolate the really dangerous ones from each other. If they ever mix together, it could be unbelievably catastrophic. So apparently the chemical lobby has got a lot of clout, and they're not which has enabled them not to provide sufficient safety, at least in New Jersey and places like that where they concentrate. But what's the story with this oversight agency?
So the Chemical Safety Board, they're not a, from what I understand, a standard-setting agency or a regulatory creator, essentially, right? From what I understand, the Chemical Safety Board actually reacts to accidents and comes in and uncovers them, and they have very limited power. However, they just recently made suggestions in response to an explosion that took place in Hawaii. And the explosion occurred because workers were disassembling fireworks that the United States Customs Organization had seized on a ship coming over from China. There were illegal fireworks. So there was no standards in place to dismantle these fireworks. And they've made a suggestion that, you know, the government should start to regulate this type of activity. So there's another chemical or a powder or a substance, obviously easily ignitable, that there's no regulations around. And apparently the customs authority seizes all kinds of explosives when, you know, they pass through ports. There was a tragedy in Hawaii, I believe it was in 2010. And all the, I think it was 12 workers lost their lives in that explosion. But yet, no regulation in place. So it's troubling. Lobbyists have reign over our system. Our government should be for the people and by the people, but you have to have a checkbook, apparently, to get in line down in Congress. So it's very troubling, our system. You know, essentially, it's broken, that's a deep concern for workers and industry.
Well, I just looking here at the Associated Press say that the U.S. Pipeline and Hazardous Materials Safety Administration fined this company, West Fertilizer or DARE, $10,000 last summer for safety violations that included planning for transporting ammonia without a security plan. And they found that the plant's ammonia tanks weren't properly labeled, and the government accepted $5,250, about half of the fine. So there we have it. I thank you for joining us, Keith Wrightson. This is extremely disturbing information.
Thanks for having me on, Ian. It's been my pleasure.
Again, I've been speaking with Keith Wrightson, the worker safety and health advocate at Public Citizens Congress Watch Division. He advocates before Congress, state, and federal agencies to improve conditions for workers and for occupational safety and health. We're going to take a brief station break and be back joined by Mark Danner talking about the new report on torture.